I'm exceedingly happy to see all of you. When I come back from my vacation 3 weeks, I'm very, very happy because I miss all of you dearly. And I'm sure you miss me. You want to see me. But when I say I miss you and I see you, I'm very, very happy. There's another layer of meaning. Because when I come back, when I came back, me and James' family of three, the four of us, when we landed, we made the headline of the Canadian CBC News. We were in that flight that were forced landed into Calgary. 21 of the passengers were injured, and 8 of them were so severely hurt they have to be carried out. And I will tell you, because this flight was a direct flight from Shanghai, China to Toronto, and the tickets were oversold, so the plane was full. Most of the passengers, they are just like me, they're Chinese. So most of them, they're atheists. They don't believe any gods or have any religious background. But I tell you, in that moment, everyone prayed hard. Well, they probably don't know who is the one, who's going to listen to their prayer. Some cry out saying, "Oh, heaven!" Some cries out and saying, "Oh, God!" Lots of names. But I know who I'm praying to. And I'm sure James' family, they know who they are praying to. However, after safely landing here, my reflection, when I ponder this, I'm wondering, who is this God? So we're going to study the gospel reading together as we go through my journey with you, my people, my community. Jesus, first of all, he is fully man. When I mean he is fully man, he is really 100% man. Now, you mean he is man? Yes. So that Jesus, he sat in our shoes. He understands everything that we are going through. In that plane, when all the things are floating in the plane and the screamings are all over everywhere, Jesus understands our fear, understands our helplessness. And not only that, when people were hurt, Jesus understands our pain. He is fully man. Now, I have to raise a question. When Jesus received the baptism from John the Baptist, we all know the baptism from John the Baptist is a baptism of repentance. Repentance from what? Repentance from sin. Well, Jesus is fully man. However, he has not sinned. He knows no sin. Then, if he has never sinned, why Jesus would receive the baptism from John? Because in this way, Jesus identifies himself with us. The scripture says in the book of Hebrews, says, therefore, he had to become like his brothers and sisters in every respect, so that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make a sacrifice of atonement for the sins of the people, to be a high priest who is standing in the middle of man and God and pray for us men. First of all, Jesus, he himself has to be a man. And then, because of Jesus, he is a perfect sacrifice. Only sinless lamb can be atoned for us sinners. Then Jesus fulfilled his commitment and mission. And also, by receiving the baptism, Jesus fulfills the law. He fulfilled every law. Not only Jesus is a fully man, he is God. Not partially, 100% God. Today in our collect, we pray that God the Father anointed Jesus at his baptism with the Holy Spirit and revealed him as his beloved son. Actually, not only Luke recorded this in the Gospel of Luke, in all three synoptic Gospels recorded Jesus' baptism. When we read, we find John answered all of the people by saying, "I baptize you with water, but one who's more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." So we know, after all, it is God who baptized us. Of course, from our visible naked eyes, it is always the priest who baptizes the new believers. But invisible, in the invisible sight, it is God who baptizes us into Jesus' body. Jesus is the second person of the Godhead. We believe in God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, Triune God. In fact, this is the Epiphany season. Epiphany means an appearance or manifestation, especially of a divine being. So we Christians understand this is the time that God the Father revealed to us who Jesus is. He is God himself. Now, in the Creed of Chalcedon, it is written that these two natures are unconfusedly, unchangeably, indivisibly, inseparably, the difference of the natures being in no way removed because of a union, but rather the properties of each nature being preserved. Now, what does it mean? Jesus is fully man and fully God. What does it mean to us? What is Jesus' work? First of all, John the Baptist, he said, he will baptize us in the Holy Spirit and fire. Now I have to ask all of you one question. Why we need to be baptized? Why do you baptize into a church? Is this certificate of baptism some magic paper that can bring you some really earthly benefit? Maybe not. I don't know. Well, somebody say this certificate is a passport that you can go to heaven after your death. Really? On the contrary, baptism is not the end of our goal, that we have the passport and we have the visa, we can enter into God's kingdom. Baptism is the beginning point, the starting point of our spiritual journey. That is the reason when you are baptized, you are officially enter into the body of Christ. That is the reason during the baptism ceremony, we, the church, as the congregation, we recite and we read the Apostles' Creed together. Because this is the baptismal covenant between us and God. This is the beginning point. And after the baptism, one believer can receive and really understand the communion, the meaning and the significance of the communion. Now, why do we really need to be baptized? First of all, because Jesus received baptism. He fulfilled every law of God. And secondly, baptism is the holy sacrament that our Lord instituted by himself. And thirdly, according to the scripture we just read, baptism, the actual one who baptized the believer, is our Lord, he himself. Now, when we are baptized, we are really member of Christ. We call each other not only brothers and sisters. We are members of the body. I remember Father Mark once he preached here and he used his finger and toes and everybody to show us we are body. We are parts of the body of Christ. Not only that, I'm sure when we were in the flight turning flight, everyone needs some assurance. But when you have the relationship with our God, here we heard from our first reading, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned. How wonderful is that promise? I'm sure every one of us can use that promise in that flight, isn't it? But we are only seeing within the church. I wonder, at that moment, even when those people, they cry out, they ask whatever spiritual being to help them. When you pronounce this promise to them, will they really believe? When the oxygen mask is floating in front of you, will they really accept this promise? I doubt that. Secondly, Christ's work. The Lord will really know who is of his. The scripture says, John says, his winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. There was a gentleman. He was sitting right in front of me. At that peakest time, he was thrown out. He was bounced. He hit the ceiling, bounced to the baggage, and bounced back to the floor. During his way back, the chair the arm was made of metal was broken. If the arm which is made of metal is broken, you can imagine how badly this man was injured. The seat was his daughter's seat. They were apart from a Nile. So when he managed to crawl back to his seat, his daughter asked him, "Dad, why didn't you fasten your seatbelt? You know, the turbulence was so violent, it was not all of a sudden thing. The whole procedure, at least it lasted between 45 minutes to an hour. So the seatbelt light was always on. And all of the flight attendants, they were fastened and tied into their seat. And over, they broadcasted into the system. They said, we know, we understand, lots of help. The lights were on, but we cannot help you. Everyone needs to be tied into their seat. So, why this gentleman, he didn't fasten his seatbelt? His daughter asked this question. You know what he answered? He said, I thought I did. Well, he paid a price. Ouch. That was really hurtful. But when we landed in Calgary, there was the medical group, the medical crew to help us. And I'm sure this gentleman is on his way to full recovery. But when our Lord comes back, and he is to discern, to separate us, who is the wheat, who is the chaff. At that time, if we find out, are we going to tell our Lord, I thought I did? That will be really frightening. The fire is unquenchable. I think in the gospel there are so many places talking about gnashing teeth and unlimitedness darkness. I thought I did. Who is this gentleman cheating? Himself? Are we thinking all the rules and instructions are bad? Those who follow the rules are silly? We need to think about that. So we pray our Lord to help us so that we can know our Lord Jesus Christ, who is eternal life. We pray for our Lord to help us get ourselves ready to meet him. And finally, when we ponder all of these things, who is Jesus? He is fully man, and he is fully God. He can pray for us, but he is the one. He is the ultimate judge. Do we really believe him because he is some good physician? He can miraculously heal us. Or do we believe him because he is a good teacher? He can bring the word some good moral standards? Or do we really believe him because he is God? And he bore our sin, and he paid for our pain. When we believe him, we can have the eternal life. 5 days ago, I heard it from the news. There was a huge bonfire in Milton, and $43 million racehorses were consumed. The trainer said, I lost everything. My brothers and sisters, we don't know what's going to happen next day or next minute. We don't understand. But when we heard all of these things, do we think it has nothing to do with us? Do we think it will never happen to us? I'm sure that gentleman who sat in front of me and other 20 passengers, they thought, oh, the turbulence will pass over. It will be fine. Until the very moment the plane dropped 3,000 feet, as if we hit the hard ground, they were swung out. But they still have their life. They can make their choices, hopefully sound one. But when we one day meet our Lord, do we have time to reverse our choice? Can we say to our Lord, I thought I did? We all know every day this world is getting worse and worse. These are all the signs. The signs. We don't have to really go through by ourselves. But when we do, when we were in that shoes, when we cry out, do we really know the Lord? Is this God our God? My brothers and sisters, what is your fortress? What is the very thing you think you can trust on? Is this your fortune? Well, 43 race horses. That's quite a lot of fortune. Is it your health? Our human body is so fragile. Well, it can certainly break the metal arm, but it's still fragile. You know, when we landed in Calgary, every passenger walked out. Their face were pale, as white as paper. No one was saying a word. They were frightened. We can understand that. Only James' family and I, we have the assurance, we know, the Lord is with us. When Christians, when we greet each other, the Lord be with you. Do we really mean that? Do we really trust that? When we have our daily life, routine life, do we really know how much life we can have? What is our shield? What is our life? When Jesus comes back, he will judge us. In this, our earthly life, I hope that Jesus can baptize every one of us with the Holy Spirit, so that when his glorious second coming, when he is going to baptize all of us with fire, I hope we can stand firm and we can still be called. We are his and he is our God. He will baptize us with the Holy Spirit and fire. May the Lord bless his word.